Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning there at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who lives and reigns, our glorious King, fellow redeemed, in his precious blood. Death has a way of ruining every life. It sucks the energy out of the living, and it seems to suck the joy out of life. One moment we're cruising down the road of life, seemingly enjoying the ride, and then suddenly, sometimes unexpectedly, death happens. It can happen to family members or friends. It can happen to people who played an important role in our lives or people we hardly knew. But the result is the same. We are suddenly sobered and find ourselves thinking about our own departure, our own mortality. Death is the enemy that everyone has to face. We have to come to grips with it, whether young or old. We may not want to, but we have to put on our big people clothes and look it in the face. There's no better day to do that than the day we call Easter Sunday, the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. There's no better day to visit a cemetery and to think on loved ones who have died, trusting in Him. Because in the resurrection of Jesus, death has met its match. Here we are yet 2 weeks from Easter Sunday. And in meandering our way through the Bible, we find ourselves in the resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians. All of the comfort, all of the joy, all of the power to be found in this entire chapter, all comes from the resurrection of Jesus. But we get to open the Easter basket early this year. We find comfort and power in the resurrection. For here we are assured that we will be raised from death and properly outfitted for heaven. These words also embolden us and prepare us to labor in His kingdom. We begin with prayer. Almighty God, the consolation of the sorrowful, the strength of the weak, hear the prayers of those who cry to you in sickness or sorrow, in trouble or distress. Grant relief to those suffering pain, comfort to those who mourn, and grant those burdened by illness and disease recovery. Look with compassion on the homeless, the destitute, and those whose inner hurts we cannot see, and all who have none to care for them. Soothe and heal all those who are broken in body or spirit, and bring us all to the perfect peace and rest of heaven. For the sake of Jesus, your Son, and our Savior. Amen. It's important to be outfitted for the circumstances of your environment. If you plan on experiencing the beauty of Alaska during January, then it will require that you pack something other than t-shirts and shorts. The extreme cold of Alaska requires warm clothing. If you don't bring it, you might die. Our bodies can't cope with the extreme cold. Likewise, if you plan on traveling to North Africa and walking in the sands of the Sahara, you'll have to pack differently than your trip to Alaska. If you don't make some changes to your suitcase, you may die, because our bodies can't cope with the extreme heat of the desert. On the other hand, if you have the wherewithal to visit the International Space Station, you will need still yet different clothing. In a vacuum and the extreme cold of space, you'll need a spacesuit and you'll need oxygen. If you don't have it, you will die. These bodies aren't made to handle the extremes of space. These bodies of flesh and blood are also not prepared for eternal life. This simple fact becomes more and more evident the older we get, because our bodies break down and fail. Our minds and our memories may also fail, and we find it more and more difficult to do the things that we used to do without thinking. Why? Did God give us faulty models? While some, of course, would blame God, we Christians understand that the fault does not originate with Him. We can, through the Scriptures, trace the problem back to the culprits. They were given perfect bodies, but sinned against God, and they brought death upon themselves and the rest of us. The Lord God lays the whole mess at the feet of one man, Adam. He says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." How can I put it? We need an upgrade. There's good news. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees that a body upgrade is coming. These temporary mortal bodies will be exchanged for immortal bodies. The bodies of those who believe in Jesus will be changed, upgraded, and outfitted for eternal life. The apostle says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." Of course, we understand that the expression "flesh and blood" refers to the human body as it exists in this life. These bodies are further described here as corruptible, meaning decaying, and mortal, literally meaning dying. You might, in fact, compare our bodies to beaten egg whites or leftovers in the fridge. They definitely have a shelf life. We need a huge upgrade for these bodies to be fit for heaven. And the Lord here tells us when that upgrade will take place. Verses 51 through 53. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Now, before you get out your calendar and mark down the day of this outfitting, I have to tell you that the exact day and hour is a mystery, one that only God Himself knows. The Lord Jesus said it as plainly as possible when He said, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." But the apostle here isn't speaking about the mystery of the day and hour of Jesus' return. He's reminding us that the whole matter of our being outfitted with eternal bodies is something that we could never know were it not here revealed to us by God. In fact, if you think about it, to many in our world, this is still a mystery. A matter of our transformation. The transformation of believers isn't a mystery to you and me, not anymore, because it's here revealed to us by our God. So what do we know about that transformation? Well, you read it. We know that when the day chosen by God arrives, some believers will be asleep, namely having passed into death, while others will still be awake, that is, still in flesh and blood. Whether dead, buried whole, or cremated, or still living, every believer in Jesus will then be changed, transformed. These corruptible, decaying bodies will be resurrected and changed into immortal, incorruptible bodies. It'll take place in an instant. This won't be a long process. It will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we know that this will also take place on the last day, at the last trumpet, the day when all the dead are raised to life. On that day, those who believe in Jesus will be upgraded for eternal life. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, when this actually takes place, becomes a reality, then this scripture, death is swallowed up in victory, taken from Isaiah chapter 25, will become a reality. Notice what it says, death will be swallowed up in victory. That doesn't mean that death will merely be made powerless from that day forward. It means that Christian cemeteries now filling up and running out of space will be forever emptied out. Every seeming victory over God's people will be completely and irreversibly undone. Our bodies will be restored to life and then transformed. Think of it. Death has broken the mightiest of kings and empires. Death has broken every home and taken a toll on every family. It has filled this world with futile tears and helpless groans. Death's nearly undefeated reign, undefeated except in Enoch and Elijah and Christ, will be swallowed up forever. Hallelujah. And this is the reality because Jesus rose from the dead the third day, because he lives. And this glorious truth made the Apostle Paul mock death, speak to death as if it were a person. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, oh, grave, where is your victory? Where's death's sting? It's forever removed in Christ. Where's the grave's victory? It's undone in Christ. And how that's possible is revealed here too. Verses 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, death has a sting, poisonous and deadly. The sting of death is sin. We're born in it. We commit it, and we become its victim. And the power of sin is God's law. It pronounces the death sentence on all of those who sin. You know the commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Honor your father and mother. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. When that law is broken, the consequence, the sentence of the law is death. Sin is the weapon. It is death's fatal sting. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What I want you to notice especially about that phrase, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't ask us to be deserving. He doesn't ask us to earn it or pay for it. He gives it to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He unites us to him by faith and then gives us all the blessings of heaven. Again, this is the reality because Jesus lives, because he's the victor over sin and death. And because of that, we can live each day as those who have been given the victory. who have been presented the treasures of the war won by Christ. Our hope springs from his resurrection, and so our lives are to be different. The message of the resurrection enables us to labor in his kingdom, as the last verse reveals. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This message, this song of joy, isn't only for a future day and time. It's our confidence and power today. It's because Jesus lives that we have every reason to be steadfast, to stand firm. We have the truth. There's no reason to change a thing that we believe in an effort to satisfy the world around us. We're not to follow the crowd, but to stand firm on Christ and on his word alone. He has risen from death, keeping his promise to us and confirming that everything in the scriptures is true. We're to stand fast on the teachings of Jesus, to be unmoving. For only then will we not be carried away by every new and strange teaching, but be enabled to test those teachings and to dismiss them as false. But standing fast doesn't mean standing still. We are called upon and equipped to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're not to be satisfied merely that our families and those closest to us know Jesus. We're always to be looking for a reason to share that joy with others who don't know it. As we do so, let's take care that the way we conduct ourselves doesn't undermine our message and our witness. Oh, maybe you're thinking to yourselves, yeah, sure, Pastor, I know. We're supposed to tell people about what we believe, but no one cares anymore. People make fun of me. It seems so useless and empty. Don't be discouraged. Draw your incentive to speak from this promise of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, is not empty. Toil and sweat invested in the work of the Lord always brings a return. But the Lord doesn't promise we'll get to see the fruit of our sharing the good news with someone else. But he does promise his word will be effective. You know the words. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, do not return there but water the earth to make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. There is comfort and there is power in the resurrection of Jesus. We will be properly outfitted for heaven. We are now properly prepared to work in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.